Associate Pastor Herschel Rosser coming to give the word today on love. We're in a series called When Love Comes to Town, and Herschel's going to bring the word to town today. Would you pray for Herschel Rosser with me? We bless him in Jesus' name that he would come, that every word that he speaks today would ruffle our feathers, God, towards your spirit, that we would run towards you, God, run towards your love. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John. It's a privilege to stand here before you today and share the Word of God with you and to be a part of such a wonderful congregation and to be led by such a fantastic friend and pastor. So our text today is going to be from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. If you want to turn in your Bible or get your phone open to that text, We will go through it verse by verse in just a few minutes. Last week, for those who were here, Mike Turgiano from New York City came and shared, and his topic was on when love came to town, just as mine is, and his sermon was the big hug. How many of you heard that sermon last week? How many of you were really blessed by it? I'm going to put up both hands. A lot of you stood for prayer at the end saying you needed the big hug. And I wish I had thought of that and preached it before Mike because it was so good. And God really used him. I believe that the greatest battle of our lives as Christians, at least it's certainly true in my life, and it's true in most of the lives of the people whom I've counseled through the years about their struggles in following Jesus, the greatest battle of our lives is to consistently, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, believe with all of our heart that God loves us. I believe that is our biggest struggle. I believe that when we break through, and the kind of breakthrough that Mike talked about last week, when he first was aware of that big hug, I believe that when we break through to that, we break through to growing maturity in Jesus. And it becomes in a lifetime of growth that's founded on and based on the great love of Jesus Christ for us. So this is my daily battle. It's my daily battle to settle myself down in God's presence in the morning and tell Him that I know He loves me and ask Him to reveal that love to me and ask Him to help me focus on that love all day long. I consider the love of God the air I breathe. I consider it the ocean I swim in. I consider it to be our atmosphere. 1 John 1:16 says, God is love. And if we are in God, we are in His love. The Lord gave me a picture of that famous parable about the two sons and the father that we sometimes call this the story of the prodigal son. He gave me a picture of that some years ago. Now, I know at various times we relate to one or the other. The elder son who feels like he's earned his father's love and is very disturbed that when his younger brother, who's run away from home, when he comes back, a big deal is made of it. Now, many times, and I know different ones of you have said to me, I identify more with the older brother. But I want us to all put ourselves in the place of the younger brother. Is there some kind of a roar going on that you can hear? Or am I the only one that can hear it? It's something to do with the air conditioning? Okay, we'll ignore it then. All right. I thought maybe on my really important points there was a roar coming to say, "This. Listen to this. So I want us to all put ourselves in the place of the younger son today, because I think every day, we wander from God at some point. It's not a deliberate choice. It's not like, okay, I'm going to run away from home. Give me my inheritance. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go waste all that you've given me like the younger son did. But it's just a wandering in our mind, a wandering away from the love of God. And so the Lord, quite a few years ago, while I was still pastoring at Sugarland Vineyard, I was doing a paper for a class I was in, and I began to work on the on the parable of these two sons and their father, and it dawned on me that every day, the father is watching for me, just as he watched for that boy who ran away. That every morning, if you want to speak it that way, in the morning, it could be any time of the day, he's out there watching for me, and when he sees me coming, he runs to me, and he yells, "Quick! Get the best robe," and he puts the robe on me, and he puts the ring of authority on my finger, and he puts the shoes of the gospel on my feet, and he has a party for me. So, you know, I really literally believe that. Those are metaphors, of course, but I believe that the Father is looking for me every day and waiting for me every day. Well, if it's for me, it's also for you. It's also for you. So, when you, any time in the day, start to turn your thoughts toward the Heavenly Father. Just start to turn your thoughts. I believe He rushes to you and gives you that big hug that Mike was talking about last week. And so I just want us to always see ourselves that way. I believe some of us keep the Father running more than others do, if you stop and think about it. But it's kind of an awesome thought that the Creator God of the whole universe is so committed to us in love that He rushes toward us when we turn our thoughts toward Him. Now we come to this text in Ephesians, which shows how much God wants us to comprehend. If you see me looking at you really oddly, Josefina, it's because the clock is right behind you. And everybody here wants me to watch the clock, I can assure you. I realized as I was trying to see, Josefina was like, "What's he doing?" Okay. So this passage in Ephesians really expresses to us this Holy Spirit-inspired prayer. The Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul this prayer to pray for us and for us to pray for ourselves and to pray for one another. And I want us to believe that God inspired this prayer. So Paul says, starting in verse 16, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Everything we're going to pray in this prayer requires the power of God to work. And by God inspiring this prayer and giving it to Paul, He's saying that power is at your disposal. So where Paul prays for this power, the Holy Spirit's inspiring that prayer. God's saying, "I want to work this way through my power in your life." So out of His glorious riches, what are His riches? His riches are grace. His riches are peace, joy, hope, forgiveness. Every good thing you can think of, that's the riches that belong to our Heavenly Father. Out of those riches, may He strengthen you with power by His Holy Spirit in your inner being, down where you live, inside of you, so that Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And this word "dwell" means a permanent decision to live there forever by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is coming in the next verses that we're going to look at in a moment require this powerful act of God out of His glorious riches, strengthening you in your inner being by His Holy Spirit so that Christ will dwell there by faith. It requires this. It requires this. And in order to offer you this, we need to understand that this grace of God is not cheap. It cost Jesus everything. Here's a verse from earlier in Ephesians. "In Him we have redemption." This is chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. In Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. That means through His death. Redemption through His death. The forgiveness of sins in accordance, here we go again, with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. So this ability to reach into the riches of His grace and lavish love on you cost Him everything. It cost Him His life. It cost Him death on the cross. It cost Him becoming sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Another passage in Ephesians chapter 2 that lets us know how much it cost Him. It talks about how we were dead in transgressions and sins in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, how we used to live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But God, Jesus is God, you see, God poured out His wrath on Himself, if we could say it that way. He took upon Himself all the consequences of our sin, whatever that means. All the bad things that should happen to us because we've been rebellious against God. He took it upon Himself, and then it says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Let me just say that again. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved, let me say it this way, with which He loved you, He made you alive together with Christ while you were still dead in your transgressions. He reached down and found you in your deadness and made you alive together with Christ. It is by grace you've been saved. So we need to understand this is not cheap grace. It cost Him everything. And this is a love that demands a response. I know we all are mourning for the loss of 17 lives in Florida this week from that young man who shot up his former classmates. Terrible, terrible situation. But maybe you heard the story of the athletic coach who put his body in between the shooter and two girls, and he took their bullets for them, and he died. And they're okay. I'm sure in those two young ladies' hearts and their parents' hearts, they wish there's something they could do to repay that man, but he's dead. So maybe they will find some way of at least expressing gratitude and thanks to that family, the family of that man who intervened that way. Well, similarly, we understand that Jesus Christ intervened on our behalf. He stood in the way of all the destruction that we had caused that was going to come back on us and destroy us, and He took that destruction upon Himself. This demands a response that we would begin to pray that as as we're going to go through this and pray for us to understand better this big hug, the love of God, as we do this, we're going to begin praying, Lord, help me respond. How can I respond to what You've done on my behalf? How can I be filled with gratitude? How can I show love to You? So I don't want you to understand, as we're in this series on how much God loves us, that it's just this ocean of love we swim in and then we just do anything we want. We just live any way we want to because God loves us. So He's going to make sure that we spend eternity with Him no matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we say, because He loves us so much, He won't let us destroy ourselves. It doesn't work quite that way. He loves us so much that He dies in our place. It cost Him everything. And it requires His power, His intervening power on a daily basis to make His love transform us. And it requires from us a response of gratitude and a saying, okay, God, how can I show my love to You? Do you believe that? We aren't saved by that. We aren't saved by, showing God that we love Him. We're already saved by His mercy and grace. But what would it say about us if we then just continued in our destructive ways, thinking, oh, Mike Turgiano and Herschel and John say God loves me no matter what, so I'm just going to destroy myself, destroy the world around me, and know that everything's going to be okay because God is such a God of love. It requires a response. So understand that as a background as we go on through this amazing passage of Scripture. As that prayer of Paul's keeps coming our way on our behalf, we see how we need God's power to get it, to understand how much God loves us. And so we go to verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So you see, we need this power to get rooted in the love of Jesus. Get your roots down into the love of Jesus. The roots of your life. This is where your sustenance comes from. It's that daily encounter with God of how much He loves us, and you're praying for God to keep you in that love and then to build your life on that love. Be rooted and grounded. Be rooted and established in love. And may God give us power to grasp how wide that love is. It's so wide it covers every human being in the universe. How long that love is. How long it lasts. It's eternal. How high that love reaches. It's infinitely higher than our need. It covers all of our sins. It's enough grace for everybody who's ever lived. And how deep is His love? It penetrates down, as one of the songs we sing, to the caverns of our souls. It goes in the hidden closets of our life. There is no place so dark, so obscure, so hidden away, so deep, that it can resist the love of Jesus Christ. How many of you here have experienced that love reaching down in the depths of your soul, bringing change to you? And so, then we go to verse 19. So let me just reread verse 17 and 18. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And, now we go to verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So it takes power to get it. It takes a powerful intervention of God for you to get it, for you to understand it, to know this love that surpasses knowledge. No matter how much you do get it, there'll always be a dimension of His love that's beyond you, beyond your understanding. There'll always be more to learn about God's love. And once we, through the power of God, have, through the Holy Spirit, the power of God, out of the riches of His grace, we have Christ living in our hearts through faith. He grants us power to grasp how wide and high and long and deep His love is. And through His power gives us the ability to grasp things that are otherwise ungraspable. It takes a revelation of God. Then it says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, you, throughout this passage, is plural. Y'all. Okay. If anybody hears from extreme Yankee land, use guys or something like that. Okay. That y'all, that everybody together may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This fullness, this pleroma is what it says. That's a word most of you don't care, but John cares, and a couple of other people maybe. The pleroma, the fullness of God, has been ascribed to Jesus Christ. It was, Colossians says, it pleased the Father for all of His fullness to dwell in Jesus. And so now He's offering us His fullness. Well, I just want to say, it takes the whole church. How many Christians have ever lived? How many people who have really known Jesus? There are 2 billion people in the world right now who call themselves Christians. I don't know how many of those are true followers of Jesus. But it takes the whole church all true believers to receive this promise for the fullness of God that dwells in Jesus to be spread out among us all. No one here is ever going to get all the fullness of God just in you. I think you would just disintegrate. Boom. But he's pleased to reveal himself in his church. And this is just a powerful, powerful text that I don't have time to talk about any longer. But I do want us to think about how to apply what I'm teaching this morning. Number one, get a drink of water. Number one, believe it. Believe it. This is the first step in having our lives transformed by the love of God. Believe that God loves you like this. Embrace it. Come back to it when you stray from it. Remember, it's the biggest battle of your life to stay fixed on the fact that God loves you. And He really, really, really does love you. When I was pastoring in Kingwood, we had just moved back from Germany and we had just moved from Springfield to Kingwood. And I had friends, but my friends were down in Houston, which was like 25 miles away. And I was feeling abandoned, not by Lucy, not by my kids. They were wonderful, but I was kind of feeling abandoned, isolated. I was under attack. John Wilhelm had just moved back to Germany, or moved away anyway. Yeah, moved back to Germany and had left me alone. John was my good buddy. It's John's fault. I was going through an existential crisis. John, thank you. And I was feeling so down, so depressed, and so alone. And there's a guy named Brent Hilton who had come and helped us when we were in Germany. And he and I had become good friends. He's a lot younger than me, but we'd become good friends. And he didn't live in Kingwood. He lived in Liberty, Texas. But I'm walking through the mall, feeling down, looking down at the floor, literally. And I run into this person. And, of course, he had seen me, so he made sure I ran into him. It was Brent. And he gave me a big hug and, you know, just glowed with the joy of seeing me. And it was like, God, you really do know me. You really do know where I live. You really do have my phone number and address. And here was a friend, you know, that God sent there, right there at that very moment. We need to believe it, that God loves us and that He wants to intervene in our lives. See, this will transform us. Believing this will transform us. The second thing is, be thankful for it. Be thankful for His love. Thank Him for it on a daily basis, maybe even an hourly basis. The Scriptures, for instance, in Philippians chapter 4, two times Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say rejoice. So be a little mirthful is what I would say. I remember when I was in Munich, and I think I've told this story. I hope I haven't told it in this church before, but, you know, at my advanced age, when I start repeating things I've said several times, just smile and say thank you, all right? So we were living in Munich, and again, it was a time, it preceded this time in Kingwood, but I felt like everything was against me. I was feeling very cast down. This had gone wrong. So I literally got down on my knees to complain. I was going to tell Jesus all the stuff that was wrong. And I felt the Lord speaking to me in my heart, you know, with thoughts. And I felt like He said, okay, you can complain. I want to hear your complaint. But before you do, would you tell me one thing you're thankful for? Oh, man, do I have to? All right. Thank you for my salvation. Okay, tell me one thing more you're thankful for. Oh, okay. Thank you for Lucy. Well, what's one more thing? Well, thank you for my sons. Well, what's one more thing? And before long, I was overflowing with gratitude. And I never even got around to the complaints. And this is the way the love of God works in our hearts. He pours out His love into our hearts. It says this in Romans 5, verse 3. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when we focus in on God and gratitude, we're thankful for His love, then He just pours more into our hearts. It's just an amazing, amazing way it works. Number three, meditate on it. Think about it. Dwell on it. As you contemplate this love, then this love begins to divine everything else. It begins to outweigh everything else. It begins to change everything else. It creates a whole new world. It allows you to go through difficulties. It doesn't mean you won't go through difficulties. It doesn't mean all your problems will be solved. So on a daily basis, find a place to sit down and think about the love of God. With me, it often works like this. Be still as I sit down with Him. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So I remember having moved to San Antonio. It'll be 2 years in May. And let me tell you, we love being here. We love this church. We love working with John and Arlita. From the very first moment, it's been proven to have been truly what God wanted for us. Along with that, moving here instituted a time of great chaos in our life. Nothing to do with the church and your leadership, our leadership here. That's always been the counterbalance, what's good and what's wonderful. So moving to San Antonio, starting right before we moved, and some of you remember, I was to speak on a Sunday morning. John wasn't here. And the night before, we picked up my sister at the airport in Houston, who was coming to take my mom home with her to Spokane, Washington, while we moved and got settled and everything. My mom fell at the airport, and she was really messed up. And it just sort of, things rolled from there without boring you with all the details. But, you know, that year, that following year, Lucy's mother got very, very, very sick and died. I had a heart attack, you know. And some different kind of issues have just kind of continued. Chaos. Not what we wanted. You know, unexpected difficulties. And I just want you to know that it is meditation on the love of Jesus that has gotten us through. So it's like chaos, 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 chaos. Run and find a place with Jesus. Think about it. Know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid for everything. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence in our lives. And it becomes this foundation on which you stand. It becomes a resource healing you spiritually and keeping your thoughts working like they should work. Do your thoughts walk or do they work? Number four, count on it. This leads us to this great promise of verses 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So remember the Lord inspired this prayer. He gave this prayer to Paul to pray for us to pray and pray for one another. This prayer comes from Him. And in this prayer is this great praise. Now unto the Father, He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. According to His power, that's the power of the Holy Spirit that's work within us, through Jesus and His church, He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. I think King James says exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or even imagine. Exceeding abundantly beyond. If you could look at the Greek language here, you'll think even in English it's weird. Exceeding abundantly beyond. Well, Paul invented a new word. He literally invented a new word to try to talk about what's available to us. So count on it. Count on it. What do you need? Go to this Father who's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you can ask or even imagine and ask. Ask. Imagine. And then He'll go beyond that. See? He'll go beyond that. So sometimes I'll just pray my prayers and then I'll say, I'm sorry, my prayers are so puny. They're so small. And I think he's saying, well, I'll take them and multiply the results. Just leave it with me. Finally, pray it. Pray it. Pray this prayer. I want to suggest that you memorize these verses, Ephesians 3, 16 through 21, and make it a prayer of yours. I've been praying this prayer for years. I pray it for myself. I pray it for Lucy. I pray it for different people. People in this church, I've prayed it for different ones of you. And so, you know, you just turn it into your prayer. And you come to the Father and you say, Father, out of your glorious riches, strengthen me with power through the Holy Spirit so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And help me to be rooted in the love of Jesus and built on the love of Jesus. And grant me power so that together with all the saints, I'll be able to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. That I will know this love that surpasses knowledge. So that I, together with the church of Jesus, will be filled to all your fullness. Now I pray this to the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all I can ask or even imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work within me. Unto you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever and to all generations. Amen. Amen. And that's the prayer that you can pray on a daily basis. And listen, God loves that prayer. He would love to answer that prayer for you. Let's watch a brief video from Brennan Manning, who was at one time a Roman Catholic priest. He died in 2013.
Is the compassion of Almighty God. And Jesus says to your heart and mine tonight, don't ever be so foolish as to measure my compassion for you in terms of your compassion for one another. Don't ever be so silly as to compare your thin, pallid, wavering, moody, dependent on smooth circumstances, human compassion with mine, for I am God as well as man. When you read in the Gospels that Jesus was moved with compassion, it is saying his gut was wrenched, his heart torn open, the most vulnerable part of his being laid there. The ground of all being shook, the source of all life trembled, the heart of all love burst open, and the unfathomable depths of the relentless tenderness was laid bare. Your Christian life and mine don't make any sense unless in the depth of our beings we believe that Jesus not only knows what hurts us, but knowing, seeks us out, whatever our poverty, whatever our pain. His plea to his people is, come now wounded, frightened, angry, lonely, empty, and I'll meet you where you live. And I'll love you as you are, not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be. Do you really believe this? That with all the wrong turns you made in your past, the mistakes, the moments of selfishness, dishonesty, and degraded love, do you really believe that Jesus Christ loves you? Not the person next to you, not the church, not the world, but that he loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity. That he loves you in the morning sun and the evening rain, without caution, regret, boundary, limit, no matter what's gone down, he can't stop loving you. This is the Jesus of the Gospels.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray a prayer together, those who would like to, of invitation into this God of love to come into our hearts. And if you guys would put that there on the screen, there it is. I'm going to invite you to pray it with me. It's not a trick prayer. I want you to know that if you pray this prayer with us, you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and you're turning your life over to Him through the Holy Spirit. So if you'd like to, pray it with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.